This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's go!
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
And welcome to the Lombardi Line on a Wednesday presented by BetMGM. Dave Ross here in Las Vegas. Of course, joined by the host of the show, Michael Lombardi in Jersey. Michael, it's always great to catch up with you on a Wednesday. We have a lot to break down. Of course, the two title games on Sunday, but we got another great show for you today. Steve Mackinnon's going to make us all smarter and hopefully a little bit more money in our pockets after we listen to his numbers breakdown. That's going to be coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Next hour, David Gascon's going to join us from Los Angeles. Of course, we get ready for the Rams and the 49ers in the NFC title game. And Lou Fitticaro is going to join us as well to break down his thoughts on these two NFL title games. But I do want to start off with the big news of the day. And, Michael, it broke right while we were doing this show yesterday here in the Lombardi Line, and that is Sean Payton stepping down as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. And I know this is something that you saw coming for quite some time. You had a feeling that this might be the end of the road for Sean in New Orleans. Why do you think it ended now, and what do you think the rationale is for stepping away, really kind of leaving that door open for whatever might become in the future?
Well, you know, I mean, 15 years at one job is hard. I mean, it's a marathon. And being a head coach of a team is a challenging job, especially one in New Orleans where you're dealing with a lot of variables. And certainly this year was challenging in the hurricane. He starts off having to spend three weeks they spent in Dallas. And then dealing with COVID, dealing with the cap, dealing with the uncertainty at quarterback, dealing with training a new quarterback, all those things, I think it just kind of took a toll on Sean. And I think Sean is exhausted. Back in the 80s, we heard the term burnout. Dick Vermeil made it famous. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then Joe Gibbs got burnout. And then the next thing you know, coaches were talking about burnout quite often. And then, you know, John Madden would always talk about 10 years is the limit for any NFL head coach. You know, 10, you go 10 years, you got to get a break. You need some time off. And I think that, you know, Sean, 15 years, I think he needs some time off. I genuinely think when the season ended, he was done. Everybody in the league was telling me, much to the chagrin of Saint fans who were ripping me, that he was done, you know, and that he was probably going to walk away. And I think Gail Benson, the owner of the Saints, said, look, Sean, take some time. Get away from it. Go down to Cabo. Do your thing down there. And then come back and see if you can regain that energy. See if you can regain that real sense of commitment to take on this huge responsibility and huge challenge of rebuilding the Saints into a championship-level team. And I think once he went through it all, he realized he just didn't have it in him.
It's very interesting, and he had some comments yesterday, Michael, that I want you to hear, and then we'll react to and see if we can glean anything for what might be next, if anything, in the National Football League for Sean Payton.
I still have a vision for doing things in football, and I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year. I think maybe in the future, but that's not where my heart is right now. It's not at all.
Okay, so Sean, he's made it clear, right, Michael? There's no chance he's going anywhere this year. He's sitting out a year, whether that's media or just home with the family, but we're not going to see Sean Payton on the sideline anytime soon.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt we're not going to see Sean on the sideline. I think that first of all, he's still technically under contract. The Saints own his rights. So that contract, even though it's not being paid or exercised, he just can't dash off somewhere else. Or else, if this were the case, it would be like college football. Guys could leave and go to the next job. They just resign and go somewhere else. That's not the NFL. There's rules you have to follow. So I do think that, as much as I'm sure Jerry Jones would like to see him as on the sidelines, I think he may have to wait a year to do it. And I think Sean wants to recharge his body, and I think he wants to get himself to where he's able to take on the next challenge. And, you know, look, he created the mess a little bit in New Orleans. There's no denying, because they were on the credit card. But who wouldn't have? Like, right. You have a chance to win a Super Bowl, and you've got Drew Brees towards the end of his career. Don't you go all in? You know, don't you go all in? Don't you trade the minor league prospects for the veteran that thinks you can get over the hump? And, I mean, look, let's be real clear here. Bill Vinovich's crew makes a better call in the Rams game on that horrendous pass interference that they didn't call. They're playing the Patriots instead of the Rams, and I frankly think that they would have given the Patriots a harder time.
It's amazing, yeah. That call in New Orleans is going to live in infamy, taking away a potential shot to get to the Super Bowl, obviously, yep. And win it against the Pats. You look at what Sean Payton and the Saints accomplished in 2022 or 21-22 season. They did have a winning record. They were knocking on the door of a playoff spot. They didn't have a quarterback once Jameis Winston went down. Of course, it's the year after Drew Brees retires. But, Michael, I look at the Saints now and I go, I can understand Sean Payton can get you to 9-8 and help, you know, fill all those holes that they're going to have. But, my goodness, you look at the notable free agents. You look at the cap. You look at the quarterback. I mean, Michael, what's to like? Obviously, if you want to be a head coach in the league, you're not going to turn down a head coaching job. There's just so rare a number of them. But still, this doesn't look like the most attractive job right now.
Well, it isn't. But it could be if the Saints and the Benson family, Gail Benson being the leader of the team, and then Mickey Loomis, the general manager, have realistic aspirations. I mean, if they're like the Giants going into this year thinking they're a playoff team, well, you just probably don't want to take that job. But if you have realistics, a little bit like what the Lions did with Dan Campbell, they gave him a 6-year contract. I mean, that basically told Dan Campbell, we know this is going to take some time. And I think whoever becomes the next head coach of the Saints, whether it's Dennis Allen or Aaron Glenn or whomever, Pete Carmichael, whomever they interview and hire, you would think it's going to be somebody from within with continuity that knows what's been going on there that they can work with. I think they've got to be realistic and say, look, we're going to take some time. We got to clean up this mess. Let's clean it up this year, and let's stop paying on the credit card, and let's fix the problems and move forward. We may take a bump in the road, and then, you know, but look, if we take a bump in the road, who knows? If Mr. Brady decides that he doesn't want to play in Tampa next year, the NFC South is wide open. It's wide. It might not be any good, but it's wide open, right?
Oh, no doubt. Michael, when I look at the quarterbacks now, because Jameis Winston is not under contract, Taysom Hill is, and I know there was always kind of that Sean Payton, Taysom Hill attraction there, and we'll figure out if they do, to your point, stay within the family that's already there that knows Taysom Hill. But if they go from the outside, I wonder, does this mean to you, if you're Mickey Loomis, if you're running that organization, are you looking draft and say, no, as much as I know we have invested in Taysom, we're going to have to figure out that he's not the quarterback of the future and or the present, and we got to go another direction.
Well, they drafted Ian Book, right? And they thought maybe that he could, and we saw him play in that Miami game. And, you know, for a young quarterback, remember, Peyton Manning threw 28 interceptions his rookie year. So all these rookies that were killing, be careful. I think that they drafted him, whether they love him or not, I don't know. Obviously, they're going to need to continue to look for a quarterback. Even if they brought Jameis back, I mean, what could they afford him for? Is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be able to play at the same level that he was starting to play at last year? Is he going to come back to a turnover machine? I mean, there's a lot to answer. I think what you need to do here, if you're the Saints, is just basically rebuild the foundation. Start from scratch. Start with, okay, we're pretty good in the offensive and defensive lines. That has been our emphasis since Peyton's been here. Let's continue to do that. Let's add a quarterback. We've still got Kamara, who's a dynamic playmaker. We still have Michael Thomas. And let's see what we can get done here, but not pay on the credit card. Not try to redo deals just to redo deals, just to think we're going to win a Super Bowl next year.
All right, so there's a lot of work to be done down there. You mentioned, obviously, with Sean Payton, because you know how social media works, and right, everybody's got him going to all these different teams. And you mentioned that he's still under contract. Even sitting out the year, it's not going to change that, right? So the Saints aren't just going to give away Sean Payton eventually, even if he wants to come back to the soundbite we just played where he says, hey, you know, it could be coaching. And if Mike McCarthy stays one more year in Dallas, I mean, that's obviously with the ties that he has to the Jones family, that seems like a connection there. What do you think the going rate would be for a Sean Payton? Is it a first-round draft pick? Is it a later pick? Because there's going to be some picks involved, not just money, right?
Well, I think it's got to get brokered, and we don't know what's in that contract, right? We don't know what Don Yee, Sean's agent, put in that contract. And for Sean to say what he said leads me to think there's something in there. It just, you know, there's something in that contract that will allow him to get away. And I don't know what it is, and I can't, and I don't have verification on that. But Sean wouldn't come out and say, I might come back and coach again if he didn't think he could coach again. You know, I mean, I think he wouldn't have said that. So I think it's the going rate. I mean, Bill Parcells went for 2 and a 3. Basically, he went for a fourth round pick, a second and a third the next year, and then a 1 after that. We know what Belichick went for. I mean, who knows? You know, and Jerry will pay whatever it is, because Jerry at this time will almost be 80 years old. And I think if he has to pay a first round pick to get the coach he wants, he's willing to do it.
I think you're right, because at some point, Jerry, we saw how disgusted he was after that Cowboy loss. And again, you and I have talked about it. We actually speculated before the Niner game for the Cowboys that if it was a colossal disaster, which it was, whether or not we thought Mike McCarthy would be safe. At this point, as we get ready to get into February, and I know Mike McCarthy says all systems go, he met with the Joneses, everything's good. We know that Sean Payton, that's not going to work this year if you're a Cowboy backer. Is Mike McCarthy still going to be the coach in 2022?
Well, I mean, it all depends on what he does, and, you know, what he does this year. I mean, I think he was going to be the coach this year because you can't get Payton. I forgot we were in 2022. But I do think this. I think that there is going to be a large cloud hanging over, you know, Mike McCarthy all season long. And the pressure of dealing with the unknown, which is really the known, which is Sean Payton, will loom, will affect him. And he's got to block it out. That's going to be a hard thing for him to do. Because after every loss, Sean Payton's going to be the Aaron Rodgers conversation in Dallas constantly. It's never going away.
No, it's not going to go away. And, Michael, I put on my Twitter yesterday, you know, you look at their accomplishments from Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, Dallas versus Sean Payton in New Orleans. The resume is almost identical, which is absolutely bizarre. But you know how social media does. One guy's a bum and the other guy is the greatest coach of all time. So, like, that's the way people play that out on social media. Let's see how it plays out in real life if Sean Payton does come back, maybe to Dallas, in a year. When we come back, Michael, we've got a lot of maneuvers for GMs. We're going to talk about the front offices in the NFL. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here in VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Football playoff season is here. It's time to download BetMGM Sports. It's Nevada's premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all of your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today or stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a a problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. Dave Ross here in Las Vegas, joined once again by Michael Lombardi. And, Michael, I'm always curious, when you see these hires, and we got big-time shakeups in the front office here in the NFC North, and obviously they're going to, we believe, be making the coaching changes here soon. And you bring in a new GM like Ryan Poles. Let's start with him in Chicago. Michael, when you're hiring a GM, what, sir, are you looking for? What's the quality and trait you want to run a front office?
Well, I think the number one quality is he's got to be a team builder. He's got to be able to understand what it takes to build a team, how to build a team, what's important on in terms of the positions and how the team relates to the city that it plays in. Mm. And, you know, baseball, we always talk about the ballpark, you know, the ballpark. If you have a short left field corner, you know, like Yankee Stadium, or if you have the wall in Boston, you build a team around that park. Well, if you're in Chicago and you know you're going to play outdoors in December and January, you better have a kind of team that can fit that element. I think it's one of the things that really affected the Colts. You know, what really affected the Colts. So I think what happened there was the Colts were always a team that was good in the dome, but when they went outdoors, their defense was small. And it was fast, but it wasn't, you know, and they got caught up in some situations where, you know, it became a real problem. And so, you know, I think that's really what happened. And I think that is one of the things you can't do as a general manager. You got to build your team around that the right way.
It's a fascinating observation because, again, for people of a certain generation like myself, you remember the Vikings as a kid going to 4 Super Bowls. Then they get the dome. Those were all outdoors under Bud Grant. And then they go indoors, and they've never sniffed it since. I know they got close that one year with Randall Cunningham. But it's got to match the city. I think that's a great point. So with Ryan Poles coming in there, what do you make of Poles coming from Kansas City? Is there now the inclination – potentially, I know Eric Bieniemy is a guy that I think they want to go defense, is from what we heard, but it looked like that search was being conducted by Bill Polian before they hired Poles. Does Poles now take over, Michael, and actually make that decision, or is this all going to be congruent with all the other conversations that have already been had before he was hired?
You know, I think it's going to be a little bit of Poles has got to take over, right? And I definitely think that when you look at what has occurred, you know, I mean, Polian was handling it, but he was handling the search. Eberflus is really his guy. And so you wonder, will Poles, who's worked together, I mean, his only job he's had has been in the Chiefs organization. Will he stay in the Chiefs organization and try to bring Bieniemy in? I don't know. You know, I think that's something to be looked at. And what are his candidates? I mean, are these the three that he has to accept? I mean, I find that interesting if that's the case. So for me, I would definitely think he should look outside the box and bring somebody. He's got to be attached at the hip.
Yes.
With the guy. I mean, he's got to be completely attached at the hip.
That's the part that, again, and we don't know how that's going to work out with Poles and Bill Polian here, but like starting the search and actually interviewing candidates before you hire the GM, I'm 1,000% with you, Michael, that it's got to be Poles' choice. It can't be that you've already made the choice for the head coach, Poles takes the job, and then he already feels disconnected from day one because that might not have been his choice. I mean, when you hire, right, it's got the GM's got to make that final call.
No doubt. I think he definitely does. And I think that, you know, you've got to be able to, you know, have his personality in that.
Yeah.
You've got to have his personality in that. I don't think it's really too hard to see. I mean, it's his team. You've got to be able to put the, you know, what you want in the team, you've got to be able to do it. So for me, you know, you've got to give him the opportunity, which is what I think the Giants are trying to do. I mean, they're trying to bring these candidates back in and going through it and see what they can do. So I think there's no doubt that's the case, and we'll see if it works out for Chicago. I mean, it's interesting. They're, you know, Jim Caldwell, Eberflus, and Dan Quinn. It's kind of an eclectic group of people. It doesn't seem to be like, okay, this is what we're really like. If you said to me, Brian Flores would be the guy I really want to. Now, Brian Flores may not get along with the 36-year-old Ryan Poles because there's a little bit of a gap there. Mm. You know, you hire a 36-year-old general manager who's only worked in one organization, who only knows one system, really. You're going to, you know, he's going to have some inexperience as he goes through the job. There's no doubt.
No question about it. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. I know people back in Chicago where I just came from, they are very eager to find out if they stay defense, because you mentioned the identity to the city. That is, you know, that's innate in Chicago, is defense. But when you bring in Ryan Poles, that was my first inclination, too, is Eric Bieniemy. That's the guy that he knows clearly in that organization. So it'll be very interesting to see where they go. What about Kwesi Adofo-Mensah now? He looks like reports here that he has been hired here by the Minnesota Vikings to be their next GM. So, of course, they've kind of cleaned house now from the front office and moved on from Mike Zimmer, much like the Bears. I don't know if they've been as actively searching for the head coach before making this signing here. So it sounds like Adofo-Mensah will have at least, it feels like he'll be starting the search from scratch. What do you make of Minnesota? What do you make of this move here?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a complete analytical move. I mean, this is a young man who went to Princeton, and then he got involved. He worked on Wall Street. He did a lot of analytical stuff, and then he went into doing the football. And so he's going to bring a complete analytical approach, which is diametrically different than what the Vikings have done in the past. I mean, they're going to be completely based on analytics as it relates to player evaluations. And I do think there's a place for analytics in some of this. It's just not in all of it. Because we're still measuring toughness. We're still measuring competitiveness. I don't know what analytics you're going to use to do that. I want to know. You know, and you can go through all of the, you know, the analytical numbers, you know, what his broad jump is, what is, you know, that's all good. And I think that's important. It's all data that you've got to research. However, at some point, you've got to be able to determine competitiveness, character, and toughness. And those things you can't find out in an analytical spreadsheet.
You know, it's music to my ears to hear you say that, because, you know, I have a lot of philosophical debates, and I love having these philosophical debates with people in our industry, and certainly how it affects the numbers out there before we make our wagers on a Sunday, on an NFL Sunday. But Michael, that's a great point, that there's got to be a marriage of it. It can't be all one, and it can't be all the other. How do you find that happy balance? Do you think there is an organization right now, Michael, that's actually following the analytical plus the character-driven heart, intensity, unmeasurables that analytics just can't, they're boundaries that analytics can't reach, and I think you've touched on some of those.
I don't know if we found the perfect balance, Dave. I think the Eagles certainly use analytics. I mean, did that help them take Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson? You know, or was that, are they going to blame that on Doug Peterson? You know, I'm sure they're going to blame it on Peterson. He wanted Reagor. He didn't want Jefferson. Okay, we'll go with that. We'll believe you. But I do think it's a pie chart. I don't think it's the whole pie.
Right.
I think it's a piece of the pie. And I think you've got to be able to balance the pie. And you've got to be able to say, okay, here's the reality of it. You know, and if you go all in, I mean, the Browns went all in.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about this. Under Sashi Brown, the Browns went all in on analytics. Where did that lead them? I mean, they passed Deshaun Watson. They said Deshaun Watson wasn't good enough. I mean, that was their analytics. They didn't think he was. I mean, that was analytically based. I mean, they had this before. And quickly, the Browns are using some of it, but they decided to go with more of a balanced approach. Look at some of those Browns drafts when they were all in analytics. But this is the trend of the league. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think if Belichick ever leaves New England, New England will go all analytical based. I think this will all be the trend of the league. I really do. I think there'll be some outliers like the Raiders and some of these other teams that really value player evaluations. And I look, I'm not trying to say the scouts are always right, because they're not. We all make mistakes. However, that being said, I do think there needs to be a little bit of a balance between the two.
Again, I'm right there with you, and you know, the analytics people, whatever that is, they'll die in the hill and say, well, that was, you know, you blame that on analytics. It wasn't analytics. Yeah. And the anti-analytics do the same thing. It's like, look, y'all, we understand. Everybody understands in the game of football, you need analytics. It's a part of the game. It's not going anywhere, people. But you also have to have, to your point, scouts. You have to have people that have talked to these people, been in the room with them. So it's not just numbers. You've got to get a feel for that player and know what you think they might be able to bring to you on a Sunday, because, again, it just just can't be about looking at a chart. We got to figure out the happy marriage.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll get there, but you know, it's like these people got to come down with the walls of the anti-analytics and the analytics community. There is a place for both of it in the NFL. When we come back, we are going to talk some great numbers with Steve Mackinnon. He always has fantastic information. Come on back. It is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN has a great new offer to help make this your best betting year ever. Our all-new Big Game Big Dance special provides VSiN Plus all access to everything we do from now through April 5th for only $69. Sign up now. Get our daily best bet emails, 24/7 video access, the upcoming big game and college hoops betting guides, plus full access to VSiN.com with our exclusive betting splits breakdown on every single game. It's one of the most exciting betting seasons of the year, so don't miss out on one of our best deals of the year. Visit VSiN.com/bigdeal to sign up today. Dave Ross alongside Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, and we always love having our Point Spread Weekly editor, Steve Mackinnon, and join us each and every Wednesday as he does today. Follow him on Twitter at Steve Mackinnon. And Steve, very quickly, I saw your son dunk on social media. Did he get all that hops from dad?
I have to claim yes on this one, actually. That I was well known for this in my 20s. So he's a little shorter than me, about 3 inches shorter. So it's quite impressive that he's able to put him down. So very proud of him on that. He's worked hard.
That's awesome.
I'm sure Michael's already scouting him to see if he can use those hops in another sport. Let's talk about some of your trends that you see this week and some of the numbers you've put out here in Point Spread Weekly. And it seems like early on, Steve, that some of these numbers would lead you to believe that, boy, the outright winners, they're covering those numbers pretty well here when you get to the title games. So obviously that would feel like good news for Kansas City and the Rams. They've covered the outright winner in all but five of the last 40 conference championship playoff games, Steve. So that is good news. But one number here, 7-point favorites are 12 and 5 straight up. Good news for Kansas City, but just 6-11 ATS since 1999. So maybe a little bit of a conflict there.
Yeah. So if you look back before those 40 games, 20 games, I think you'll see a few more of those covers by the underdogs in that span. But lately, yeah, it's turned. If you recall, we talked about this in the wild card round. It was a big deal then. I believe 6-0 this year, moved to 54-7-1 in the wild card round for outright winners covering, too. So this is a touch lower, just 1% lower as far as outright winners covering the game. So you think you know who's going to be in the Super Bowl. You might as well bet these teams to cover the spread, especially as favorites. You've saved yourself some money there.
So the teams that have won by 7 points or less, which would be both of these teams, are just 2-15 straight up and 6-11 against the spread in their last road conference title appearances, which doesn't spell really a good situation for the Rams, for the 49ers and the Bengals. Is that right, Steve?
Oh, yeah, you're referring to that trend of how they scored how they won last week.
Yeah,
yeah, the teams that won these close games, if they're playing on the road next week, they have not done well. 2-15 their last 17 in terms of straight up. So, yeah, that would go against both of those teams. And also what we just talked about with the outright winner trends, if you think it's another year where two favorites win, that all that sort of ties together.
And again, you see right underneath there with the home teams that were in the playoffs the prior year, 20-6 straight up, 16-10 ATS, including 7-1 straight up, 6-2 ATS versus teams that weren't in the playoffs the prior season. Again, that's not good news for Bengal backers specifically, right, Steve?
Okay, so as you look at that trend, it's an experienced trend, sort of. Now, I believe this goes further against the Bengals, however, than it would against the 49ers. Obviously, there's a one-year gap there. They're in the Super Bowl the year before that. So a lot of the guys on the 49ers are part of that core group that played in that Super Bowl. So I believe that advantage is definitely more towards Kansas City against Cincinnati.
Do Do you think the effect, Steve, I know you can't measure this analytically, but do you think the effect of the emotional game of being played in Kansas City, the overtime, the whole thing is going to affect the next week's game? I keep saying to people, well, you know, same thing happened when we beat Baltimore 2 touchdowns down 2, never happened before. That was an emotional game that we won by 3, and then the next week we killed Indianapolis. It ended up being Deflategate, but that's another whole other story. But the reality of it is do you think there's any lasting effect of that?
Well, I mean, I think you look at Kansas City and this is an experienced championship level team. As much as a lot of people are calling last week's game against Buffalo the de facto AFC championship game, I think this team is grounded enough to know that you got another game here to get to where you want to get to, and that's Los Angeles in 2 weeks afterwards. So I think Andy Reid will have that team prepared. I don't think there's going to be a hangover effect from winning. They win a lot of games like that. You know what I mean? They're a team that can put up points. They give up some points sometimes, and sometimes they got to win in the fashion that they did.
You know, it is fascinating, Steve, when I look at the trends when we get to the totals here, right? And it feels like if you're an overbacker, these numbers might make you pretty happy. Because since 93, the over is 35-22-1 in conference championship playoff games, including overs in all of the last 5 games. But really, if you want to go deeper, my goodness, how about playing? I know we don't like to necessarily say play parlays, but there is a correlation here with home teams that win and cover. Those totals are going over 14 of the last 18. If you like the road teams and taking the points, the under is the play, at least 6-4 in the last 10. Is that the correlation we're spelling out here?
Exactly. And we talked about this exact same correlation last week for the divisional round. These very similar numbers, home teams overs, road teams unders. And if you think back to last weekend, Kansas City, the only home team to cover, wins in a big high-scoring affair. The other road teams, 2-1, 3 games of road covers, those games go 2-1 under. So it's continued. Now, you look at that and you think, if I think the 49ers are going to be in this game, it's probably going to be low scoring. If you think the Bengals are going to be in the game, and I don't feel this way myself, it's going to be low scoring. So you need to sort of look at it that way. Now, there's been a correlation with the points scored, too, by the home teams. You have to score 30 points in these NFC or AFC championship games to be successful as a host.
Mm.
Do you see the Rams scoring 30 points? You got to think along those lines. Do you see Kansas City scoring 30 points? I think it's certainly more towards the latter, but that should be a part of your handicapping process.
And you also have a nugget that teams owning an edge in total offensive passing yardage, which lends itself to the scoring, are 26-12 straight up and 23-15 against the spread over the last 19 seasons in the playoff rounds. So what you're saying is that we know the Chiefs are going to get to 30. They did the last time. They lost 34-31, and the Bengals kept the ball the last 8 minutes of the game. Can the Rams score 30 on this team? I mean, the way the Niners played defense in the cold against the Packers, they dominated. You go back and watch that tape. They dominated the front from start to finish. I don't know if they can do that. I think it's going to be a challenge.
I agree with you 100%, Michael. Now, if you even think back to the game they played just a few weeks ago, 265 yards the 49ers allowed to the Rams. That doesn't equate to 30 points in any particular game unless there's 5 turnovers. And you don't get that type of turnover effect in these championship games historically. So the chances of the Rams getting to 30 points against that 49ers defense, the way they're rushing the passer, the way they're stuffing the run, the way they pretty much controlled Davante Adams last Saturday night, again, seems very improbable to me.
Yeah, and one more to that point here. Teams that allowed fewer points per game during the regular season are 15-8 straight up, 16-7 ATS, dating back to the 2010 conference championship game. So that feels like good news for a Niners team, at least that we think of for defense, like you and Michael were just spelling out there, right?
Yeah, no, if you look at the defensive numbers of these teams, they're sort of close, but the edges do go to Kansas City and San Francisco in general. So It's been good to have a better overall defense and a better passing defense to be successful at this level of football.
All right. Well, I cannot wait for the championship games. And again, that is it is fascinating information that you put out each and every week. And again, if you've been following these numbers, I'm sure you've been more successful than you would be without knowing this knowledge. Steve, always appreciate the time and the information, my friend. Keep putting up those jumpers, and I'll look forward to those videos on social media. They're pretty good.
Thank you, Steve.
Jumper's gone. So is the jumping.
Jumper's gone and the jump. I don't know. I think the old man still got some hops. Steve, appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Michael, that is fascinating, though, about the Niners here and their defense and the way that they just absolutely dominated those fronts, because they were physically dominant. And that's what they're going to try to do again to the Rams. They did it the last two times they played them this year.
I mean, they're going to put pressure on, especially inside. We talk about Aaron Donald doing it, inside. But, I mean, I think when you have these Armstead and Arden Key, I mean, Raider fans, you got to feel bad about this. I mean, Arden Key played really well last week. He was tough.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. Again, we're seeing 3.5, some threes out there. Remember, this one opened at 4. So there has been money coming in most of the week on the 49ers. All right, when we come back, Michael, I'll be very curious to pick your brain about the officiating crews in these games and how you would judge that, and certainly from a monetary perspective, if there should be a way that you should value who is actually calling and reffing these games. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer in the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager in any game, and if either team hits a three-pointer, you're going to win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. Just use the bonus code VSIN200 when you make your very first wager. Plus, you're going to earn M Life rewards that can be redeemed for rooms and dining at any MGM resort. BetMGM is proud to be an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the bonus code VSIN200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi or Nevada. Dave Ross alongside Michael Lombardi. This is the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN. And our own Wes Reynolds did some great tweeting, and you can follow Wes at Wes Reynolds 1, as I do, Michael. And I thought these...
And so do I.
I thought it was very interesting, some of the nuggets he gave out on who are going to be calling the championship games. Now, you're going to have Bill Vinovich doing the AFC title game, and you're going to have Carl Sheffers doing the NFC title game. And before we dive into Wes's numbers, when you hear a name associated with a game, Michael... As an executive, did you and the coaching staff go, oh, no, we got this crew? Mm-hmm. Did that happen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all the time. But, see, this is the problem. We it's hard for us to equate who's refereeing the game because it's not his crew.
Right.
So we really don't know. You know, this Cincinnati-Kansas City game could have guys from Scott Novak's crew. Uh-oh. you know, this San Francisco could have guys from some other crew. We just don't know. And so it's hard to go A to B in the crews. You've got to be careful with that. But we do know there's a – I mean, we saw Hockley's propensity to want to inflict – you know, he wanted to demonstrate that he was going to be involved in the game. And obviously now we know what happened there. I mean, and so, you know, like when you look at Cheffers and you say, okay, he's typically a home record of 104, 109. You know, he's an under. He's about 50% on the under. I don't think that matters. I think those numbers are insignificant.
Mm.
I think those numbers are insignificant. I always felt like when you the crew was more important than anything. When you got this crew, you really understood it. Like, for example, Vinovich is a really good road referee. He's really good for the road, but I don't see that being the case.
Because, again, it's an all-star compilation, right, if you will, with Vinovich is going to be running the crew, but he's going to have all kinds of different people on his crew. Now, Wes tweeted this out, and it is interesting. Vinovich has never called a roughing the passer in 16 games this season. Carl Sheffers doing the NFC title game, 10 in 16 games. 0-10. That is rather significant. Also, offensive holding. Vinovich and his crew, 31. Carl Sheffers, 49. False starts. How about Bill Vinovich, 24. Sheffers, 38. Boy, those are weird that they could be that different, because you think a false start's a false start. Defensive PI.
But we're seeing false starts not even getting called.
Right. I mean, a lot of them missed. False,
yeah, we see. I mean, like the Cincinnati-Tennessee game had numerous of them. I was like, I saw it all the time. And you know, well, let's go over the offensive holding calls. As you said, Vinovich is 31, Cheffers is 49. But who's the umpire is that guy who makes that call?
Right.
The umpire on that crew, is he going to be the umpire here? You know, if you once you know who's on Vinovich's crew, you basically break down to like defensive holding or PIs. I mean, you know, Vinovich only called 16 defensive penalties, PI or holding over, you know, whereas Cheffers, you better not pick a player because, like, for example, the almost interception by Jack Rabbit Jenkins.
Mm.
That he should have picked off, right? The receiver and the defensive back ran into each other. They were trying to run a flat route with a slant behind it, D slant, and so they had a collision there, that easily could have been, you know, offensive pass or defensive pass interference. Cheffers probably is calling that if that's his crew, but they let it go. The other thing is, I think it's clear is there was very little penalties this week. I mean, even as bad as I thought Hockley was in the game, because I thought he missed the call down on the goal line on, you know, on Evans saying it wasn't continuation. It was after the play. Give me a break.
Right.
What was that?
Yeah.
That was bang bang. In fact, watch the officials. Both officials threw their flags immediately after contact.
Right.
I mean, they invented something on that play. You know, it's a good thing we tape these games, because they try to create a story. They're like the Warren Commission. They try to create a story, even though we have tape to see what we're seeing, you know. It's hilarious. But to me, you know, I think the league office said, no way, we're going to cut back on all these calls. I mean, I still have a hard time understanding how in the hell can you sack the opposing quarterback 9 times? Can you hit him numerous times during the game and not get one holding call against this really bad Cincinnati Bengal offensive line? Like, there is no chance Spain is going to block. There's zero chance he's blocking Chris Jones. Zero.
Mm.
Zero.
Well,
zero.
And see, Michael, that's
he's got to hold them on every play.
Right. And again, because we talk about it, right? You could call holding on every play if you want, and different crews will do it more and have a propensity to do so versus others. It can't be that one team is just not holding and the other team is. It's a matter of the officials and whether they choose to call it. Michael, this is a problem. Like, when you see this variance, okay, in crews, and again, this isn't just, obviously, it's Vinovich's crew versus Sheffer's crew that we're pointing out here, but this is a real issue. And again, we're trying to give our expertise. We're handicapping games each and every. I'm not just talking about this week. I'm talking about in general here. How does the league correct this? Because it's almost impossible that you do have to look at the crews now in your handicapping, because some crews are just going to call it and other crews just aren't.
Yeah, you just, you really do. Like, I kept saying, I don't want to, you know, we, every Friday, Patrick and I with Matt, we would always have a, we call it a John Oates play. I can't go for that game because it was one of those, I didn't want to really, I don't think you can play all the games every week. I think that's a hard thing to do. I think you have to narrow your list down, starting on Tuesday, Wednesday, go through it. But anytime I would see Novak, I mean, that was ultimately a no can, that was a John Oates play all the time for me. I wanted nothing to do with that game.
You know, we see it a lot of times where it'll be in preseason and whatever the competition committee, they're going to have a new point of emphasis, right? We see it every year. And then they start that off maybe in the preseason, which I know now is almost non-existent. So maybe it starts off early in the regular season and then they start to scale back. How do you as a GM, how do head coaches, how do players, Michael, how do they factor that in trying to quantify when it's going to be called and when it won't be called?
Well, I think, again, you're looking at the crew, the umpire. You know if you're playing Cheffer's umpire, he's going to call it. And you tell your team, look, we can't hold. We got to make sure we don't hold in this game, and we've got to be really careful. So you just have to coach the players up during the week. I'm sure that these staffs, Kansas City, Cincinnati, have gone through with their players over each specific position. The back judge, the line judge. This is what they're going to call. They're not going to let you cheat. You know, like I thought last week, the Green Bay's tackles were setting really deep on the pre-snap. They almost were like an illegal formation. This is one of the unknown things they don't, you know, and if they let you get away with that, that really benefits the offensive tackle because now he's back and he has a better chance at blocking the rusher because he's already off the ball, right?
Right.
So they want him on the line, but they let him cheat that a little bit. But if they give you that, it certainly is an advantage to the offense. And I thought this week they were definitely letting that happen.
So you think that these are conversations, Michael, that have to happen for Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay going, all right, look, Carl's doing this game, right? So we don't know the rest of the crew, but be aware, he's going to call everything. So, like, you can't hold 99 on the interior because they're going to call it, right? So these are actual conversations, and maybe conversely with Zach Taylor and certainly with Andy Reid, they're going to say, all right, guys, hey, we got a guy that's just not going to throw a lot of flags, so let's go ahead and take some more shots.
And I'll take it one step further, right? I think that they'll go to the up during the game, and they'll say, before pregame, they'll say, hey, look, just keep your eye on that left guard, Spain. He can't block anybody. I'm just telling you, you watch him, he's going to hold on every play. They're going to do that too.
Wow. So the coaches will actually say that to the officials.
Oh yeah, that guy can't block our guy. He can't block our guy. There's no way. He couldn't block Jeffrey Simmons. He's not blocking Chris Jones. The right tackle's not going to block our guy. He's not going to block our guy. Just keep your eye on the right tackle. And the right tackle sets way too deep on pre-snap. This is, I'm talking about the Bengals.
Sure.
They sets way too deep on pre-snap. Can you please make sure you pay attention to that?
That is fascinating inside the weeds stuff here because, again, they're going to set the tone for the officials before the game even kicks off to say, hey, you've got to pay attention to this. And there's some merit to that, right? It's not just coaches for a call. There's some merit to what
they're watching
actually,
the tape.
Yeah.
They're absolutely.
I'm going to be fascinated to see how many calls, holding calls go against Spain on Sunday because you're right. That conversation is going to be had. So let's see how these crews play out. Michael, when we come back, we're going to take a look at some prop scenarios here in these title games and figure out if we can find some value there. Come on back. It's the Lombardi Line right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.